The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
I'm Jenny Nipper, and I know most of you. And although if you're like me, you know people, that doesn't necessarily mean that you remember everyone's names, right? So I wouldn't expect that of everyone to remember my name either. Why am I standing up here and not Dave? It's because over time I have been conscripted or voluntold or volunteered or something into sharing every now and then what God is teaching me and what he's doing in my life and about his word and the world we live in. But before I get started, I want to say a couple things. One, aren't you thankful for Dave and Marilyn? I know they're not here, but they'll listen to this later. And I am so grateful for their ministry and their shepherding of us and the way Dave feeds us every week and, you know, the way Marilyn takes care of so much around here and sometimes preaches the message and that roadmap through Revelation that she gave us recently. I am just so thankful to be shepherded by them. So I just want to say that whether or not they're here. And always when I do this, I'm always conscious of wanting Dave and Marilyn to be pleased with the truth that is shared. So I'm always conscious that I'm honoring them and their desire for the truth of God to be shared in this body. And I'm so thankful for our worship team. Yeah. Aren't you? Yeah. I mean, they spend hours every week, and I know that you don't need or require our thanks, and yet we need to give it, and we appreciate what you guys do, and it leads us into prayer and to worship, and we appreciate you, and I just am not sure that we thank you enough for the hours that you spend, so thank you. And I appreciate our children's teachers, because they are often not in here, so, right, they're not in here, but... Let's all thank them later, because I am living proof of how wonderful it can be and how important it can be to take your kids to Vacation Bible School and have someone who teaches Vacation Bible School. I first accepted Christ when I was 11 on the back row of VBS at the Mormon Church. I didn't know it was Mormon, but I was dropped off at multiple VBSs during the summer because it was free babysitting. And my first time I said, I believe in you, Jesus, was at the Mormon church in the back row when somebody talked about Jesus, and say what you will about theology, Jesus heard me, right? And then later in my life, I had a friend whose family took me to church with them at a very tender age when I became a member of the youth group. And my siblings were doing a variety of things that were not godly, and my family was pretty fractured. And through her family taking me to church when I was 16 in the spring of my sophomore year, I accepted Christ and was baptized. And it's been a journey. And I cry twice a year, and today's going to be one of them. So I'm a little bit delicate today because I have had a bit of a fractured family, and my father's life was much destroyed by alcoholism. My mom's died at 65, and she lived a life in pain. She was never free from either her physical or emotional pain. And this past week, my brother has been in the hospital. He has suffered from his alcoholism for 40 years, and he's been sedated and intubated to try to deal with withdrawal yet again, and I'm not sure what's going to happen this time. I'm completely convinced of his faith in Jesus. It's not that he doesn't want to be delivered. I don't understand all that goes on, but I'm a little emotional this morning thinking of his struggle. So there you go. There's a little about me, probably more than you needed to know. So let's just pray so I can get my act together. Okay. Lord God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, we believe you. We believe in you. We believe in your existence. We believe that you made everything. We believe that you made man in your image, and you made the plan to reconcile him to you because you loved mankind, including us, so much that you gave us choice, because love never forces. That's how big your love is. So we thank you for that today, Lord. And because Jesus stood in the gap between Satan and us and separated us from him and stood in the gap between you and us and reconciled us to you, I stand in between Wellspring and the enemy and say you are not welcome here. And I say that your Holy Spirit is here because he is in us. And today, may your truth fall fresh on us, and may anything that is clouding our vision of your work in our lives fall away from our eyes, that we might embrace truth, Lord. I know what you are teaching me, and I know that you have a relationship with each person in this room, and you have something to teach them, and we can all learn something different today. Maybe some of us will have a real revelation about the same thing, but what I do trust is that you are at work, and you are going to do business with us today. So we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's really kind of reflective to have given the message in January on the anniversary of my baptism day, and then to fast forward already all of these days, and here we are, December 1st. Are you with me? Like, holy cow, how did we get to December 1st already? It was just New Year's, right? And so we're here on December 1st. And I took in this statistic on Saturday morning. You'll be happy to know that on Black Friday, 7.4 billion was spent online alone. I'm thinking that a lot of that purportedly had something to do with the birth of Jesus Christ, but I don't really think so. Do you? I'm not anti-Christmas. You're not going to get an anti-Christmas message today. I just felt compelled to remind myself and us on December 1st, when we go into this season, this frenzy, that Christ was born as a baby. And let's just separate that in our hearts from the 7.4 billion and honor him through this season when our world goes a little nuts. Because we need to be peace all year long. We need to share the love of Christ all year long. There's no reason that it all winds up in December and is especially powerful then. We have that Jesus in us through the Holy Spirit all year long. So I just needed that reminder today, so I'm sharing it with you. So today marks somewhere around a dozen messages that I've prepared in the last several years in an effort to share the grace and hope that God has generously given to me. And I do this also as an expression of gratitude for his never-ending love and his mercies that are new every morning, and I do it to learn and grow myself. This is how he grows me. He makes me put what I'm learning into words, and then I grow. So thank you for being part of my growth. I want to tell you that today's message of all that I've given is, I think, the most difficult I've ever prepared. Because the subject today is the part of walking with God in this life that has challenged me the most. It is in relationship to this spiritual matter that I have asked the most questions, been the most confused at times, felt the most guilt, and even the greatest sense of failure. As with many spiritual tasks, this one is easier to talk about and learn about than it is to do. So you're probably wondering what it is. It is prayer. Now I know that just a few months ago, Dave preached a wonderful message about prayer. And I know that up until Dave did that, that I knew the Bible talks about prayer, and I know that I've heard a lot of messages about prayer, and I've read some books. And then I know that the Sunday that I missed when we had a special guest, he talked about prayer, and I heard it was really exciting, and he is a cool guy, and he's doing the work of the Lord, and I wish I would have heard that. And so maybe, just maybe, if before even he preached, I had already decided to talk about prayer, it might be that God is trying to get something through to us all about prayer. Maybe. I don't know. So I'm just going to share my journey. So sometimes it's, we know the truth of something. We've read the books. We've attended the Bible studies. We've had the conversations. But sometimes the truth takes a long time to take root. Okay? And I believe that what I'm going to share today is something that's just beginning to take root in me. I'm slightly ashamed, and I'll share that later, but it is taking root. It's not that I don't pray. It's that I have not been praying during my Christian life as if God was depending on me to accomplish some of his work by my prayers. Now, you heard me right. I just said, God depending on me. And you're like, no, God can do, he can do it irregardless of what you do. But today, I'm going to try to summarize some truths that he has been getting through to me about that I do indeed believe that he is depending on us to release his power through our prayers. I do want you to know that several months ago, I went to Dave and Shorty and I said, I think I've got some learning to do in the area of prayer, and they recommended I took 4 or 5 books home that they gave to me. And I am going to be talking, summarizing much of my learning from Dutch Sheets, wrote a book called Intercessory Prayer. And we'll talk about prayer versus intercessory prayer, but I just want you to know that I am taking from this book in today's message. So, and that was sanctioned by Dave and Shorty, so I'm just saying. So I'm going to share 3 truths, and I could share every one of those, and maybe you will just go like, duh, but for me, this is the time when these truths are finally sinking down deep, I believe, to sprout and bear more fruit. So truth number 1. Man, this is easy to say, but it is so much harder to grasp. God has chosen to work on earth through human beings, not independent of them. I know that truth, but I don't think I've prayed like I believe that truth, because that is the epic story, right? Between this cover and this cover that God has given us of his word, here's what we have regarding his work through human beings. Though he is absolutely sovereign and all-powerful, for a time, he has limited himself, and he chooses to work through human beings. From Genesis 1, where God made man in his image, and then a little while later, man did evil on the earth, and then God went searching for someone who could just represent the rest of us and found Noah. And then all that destruction, and then we rebuilt, and then God continued to search for faithful men and women whose hearts belong totally to him for all these years. And then God decided on a race through whom he would do his work, and then God became a man in Christ the Messiah. And then Jesus commanded us to pray for his will to be done, and for our daily bread. Are you kidding me? He's telling me to pray for my daily bread. Do you know how full my refrigerator is right now? Because I just finished Thanksgiving week. Have I taken that seriously? For laborers to be sent into the harvest? He has given us the stories of Elijah and Daniel and Ezekiel. And in every one of those stories, he is saying he responds to the prayers of his people. And I'm here to tell you, I have not been praying like that. I feel sad about that. I am good at joy. Lord, thank you. I'm good at gratitude. This is beautiful. I'm good at praise. You made all of this. You made everything that I'm walking on. You made everything that's here. I love you. Your world is beautiful. I can do those things. Gratitude never fails me. But what I'm not doing is really, really trying to bring others to reconcile to him. I have failed, but I'm going to be better. Jack Hayford says it this way: prayer is essentially a partnership of the redeemed child of God working hand in hand with God toward the realization of his redemptive purposes on earth. And what I want to say today is, I am grateful and I do have joy and I have a lot of praise, but I have got to get serious about the matter of prayer to release his redemptive work here on earth. That's truth number one. He's chosen us. Number two, Jesus performed the work of intercession, and it is only because he did that, that we can approach God in prayer. To intercede means to act between two parties with a view to reconcile. You go between and you try to bring them together. It is going between, pleading for another, representing one party to another. And in Isaiah 53:12, it says this: Christ poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors or sinners, those who had failed to keep God's law. He bore the sins of many and he made intercession for transgressors. He didn't pray it. He did it. He didn't pray it. He did it. And here's what that means for us. Who then, it doesn't say he prayed, it says he became human, he willingly died, and Romans 8:34 says, who then is the one who condemns us? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. And in John, 1 John 2:1, we're told that Jesus is our advocate with the Father. So what does this mean about prayer? Here's what it means for us regarding prayer. When I pray to God, I talk to him, Jesus is always there with God to represent me to the Father as righteous, because without that, I couldn't approach God. I couldn't come into his presence. He can't do that with sin. And so Jesus did it. One for all. And so here's what it might sound like. Jesus might be saying, Jenny is here to speak with you, but not on her own righteousness and good works and merits. She is here in my name because I've gone between you, God, and her, and I've provided access to her. So please hear her requests. I haven't been praying like that. And I feel a little ashamed because I've been a Christian for a long time. Our prayers of intercession are always an extension of Jesus becoming intercession for us. So he did the work of intercession. We can engage in intercessory prayer because Jesus is always there. We do not reconcile anyone. We don't defeat the enemy. Reconciliation, deliverance, victory, salvation, and intercession are complete through Jesus. We ask through prayer for the release and the application of these things. And through Christ our intercessor, we pray for reconciliation between God and humanity for the purpose of enforcing the victory of Calvary. We are his representatives on earth, through whom he has chosen to release power through prayer. I haven't been praying like that, but I'm gonna. And I'm inviting you to as well. So here's what this looks like for me. I'm the principal of a 630-kid middle school, right? And so what, and there is a lot that goes on with kids these days, in case you haven't noticed. And there is a lot of conversation that goes on about kids, and they this, and they don't that, and their technology, and they this, and they that. They don't need any of that from me. What they need is for me to go boldly to the throne and to drag them along with me and say, God, here is Michael, here is Campbell, here is D'Antonio, here is this child, and here is this child, and here is their family, and they are broken, and they need you. That's what he needs from me. Prayer is conversing with God. It can be worship and praise, or it can be interceding, and I have got to get busy with interceding. Truth number three, intercession always creates a meeting. After the fall of man, humanity needed two things. They needed someone to go between them and God to reconcile them. And they needed someone to go between them and Satan to separate them. And Jesus completed both of these. The Hebrew word for intercession is paga, P-A-G-A, which means a meeting or to make an impact. And what a meeting and what an impact it was when Jesus hung on that cross at Calvary. And here I take directly from Dutch Sheet's book. Let's look at all those meetings. At the cross, mercy met judgment, righteousness met sin, light met darkness, humility met pride, love met hate, life met death, and the sting of death met the antidote of resurrection. Only God could plan such an event and have it turn out perfectly. Only he could marry such extremes in a single occurrence. Who but he could shed blood to create life, use pain to bring healing, allow injustice to satisfy justice, and accept rejection to restore acceptance? Who could use such an evil act to accomplish so much good? And the other way around, who could transform such an action of love into so much violence? And the other way around, only God. Through our prayers, we create meetings between God and humanity. When we pray, we meet the powers of darkness and enforce the victory of Christ accomplished when he performed the work of intercession. So I want to return for a moment to the word I used in the beginning. I said, I have not been praying as though God were depending on me to release his power. And I am going to defend that word. I still believe that he is depending on us. God has chosen each of us to operate his power through our prayers. I'm not proud to say that I have meandered along my journey as a believer approaching prayer at a pretty shallow level. I'm just being truthful, and I'm probably the only one in the room who has approached it this way. But I have been doing things, I have allowed myself to be deceived by this voice. Well, God's already decided anyway. Now, I don't really know how to pray because some people he heals from cancer and some people he doesn't. So I just don't really know how to pray for that. Doesn't he always already know what's going to happen? So no need for me to spend a lot of time on that. I mean, never mind the fact that I have trouble concentrating, right? And I can't ever seem to get myself in a posture where I'm actually focused and concentrating on prayer. It's probably just me. And I just have come to the realization through Dave's preaching and through this book and through my lens on the Word that Satan loves my mindset about prayer. He just loves it because it keeps me ineffective and it makes my prayers completely benign. They have no infectious power, effectual power. They are not powered by God. He just loves the way I've meandered through. And I am going to tell you today, no more. No more. Here's what I think God is saying to me, and then I'm going to share something that really, truly solidified this for me. Here's what I think God's saying to me. Jenny, you really need to stop playing around with trying to do my job, deciding whether or not you should pray for something because I already know what's going to happen. And you need to do what I've asked you to do and made possible for you to do through Christ. Get busy praying for humanity to be reconciled to me. And you pray and you keep praying whether or not you see the results. Get busy. And here's what really got me. I didn't know this until the last few months because Revelation is not a book that I have spent a lot of time in. It's probably just me, but it's not somewhere that I have focused. In Revelation and throughout Scripture, it indicates that prayers accumulate, that God has something in which he stores our prayers for use at the proper time. So reading from Revelation 5, beginning with verse 8, "And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of his saints." And continuing in chapter 8, verse 3, "And another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and he filled it with the fire of the altar and he threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake." When I read this, not knowing whether there is actually a bowl for each of us, or whether they're all combined into some container, whether this is figurative or literal, I just kept trying to picture my container in heaven in which my prayers would be accumulated for God to dispense his power at the time he chooses. And I am sorry to say that when it comes to substantive prayers for intercession, in which I bring humanity to God and plead through Jesus' finished work for their reconciliation, my container was pitifully bare. Thanks be to God and Christ and the Holy Spirit that it is by no means too late for any of us to engage in that kind of prayer. Will you join me in the rest of 2019 and into 2020 to pray this way for our broken world, that they will be reconciled and that there will be some things we will see the results and there will and some things we won't see the results. And I just want to close with one story that is underscoring, as God often does, what we're learning. April's not in here, but April and I share a connection through kids that go, her son and kids that go to my school. And I do pray for Rifle Middle School. I pray, we every morning at 7:10, we have some people who come in and they pray. We pray together. We have other believers in our school who walk the perimeter in prayer. And occasionally I get up, I am awoken in the morning and recently went at about 5 o'clock a.m. and just walked through all the halls and prayed. I don't always do that, but when I can't sleep and I've been reading this book, God was like, why don't you just get up and go on over there? And so we do have some prayer going on, and I would like to strengthen that. But what I heard April say today about something that's going on in the person's life that she's connecting to is that God has been working in the life of this family. And I'm not saying it's my prayers or someone else's prayers or the prayers on Monday morning. I don't care. When she said that today, I thought to myself, it doesn't matter. Just keep praying. Because as Dave always says, what does he say? He says, besides watch out for the mind erasers, he says, God is always, always, always at work in the place that we can't see. When Jesus died on that cross, we could see Jesus, and we know that the curtain was torn. But did we see the rest of it? No. We battle not against flesh and blood. We battle against evil and darkness. And the great thing is the war is won. When that happened, Jesus crushed Satan. And he is mad. He is mad, mad, mad. I'm not going to lie. I know he is mad because this is coming out of my mouth right now. And that we are going to go forth and we are going to challenge him at every turn until Jesus takes us home or he returns. Or however that's all going to go. But I'm asking you to hold me accountable to get serious about it. And let's watch him work. Lord, it doesn't matter how we feel. What matters is who you are and what you have done and accomplished. Yes, there is darkness in the world. Yes, the enemy is lurking around, searching out, trying to destroy and kill. But you are victorious. It is a fact. And if you choose to come back now, if you're looking for people whose hearts will be faithful to you, we want it to be ours. Lord, let the miscellaneous and the clamor of the world this Christmas season go on around us and in our hearts. May it be quiet, because we have the peace of God which transcends all understanding, and may we quietly introduce people to the baby who is the Christ, who is the Messiah, who died and rose again, Lord. We beg you as a church to work through us. And because Jesus is right there with you, because he has gone in between us, we know that we can come to you and ask this, Lord. As we close today, I want to be different, like Dave prayed. I want to be different. May we be different now. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflife.com.